What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Between the Tackles. I am your host with the most, Hogan. I am back this week. I am available. We're here to talk some football. Unfortunately, Burgess is out. That clown is off clowning around, doing his thing. No, we love him. We appreciate him. He's out working, I'm sure, working not that hard. But, you know, I gotta crap on him. He's not here, so I got to take advantage of that. But fortunately, my other buddy, Manish Mehta, is here to hang out with me for this episode today. Manish, my friend, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Hogan. I can't believe we only got 2 weeks until the playoffs began. It just seems like the other day when we had week one, I was getting all psyched for the beginning of the season. And I say it every year, but like these three and a half months kind of fly by.
It's absolutely insane how quickly this season just transported through like time and space and whatever. We were sitting here crying about the preseason. It feels like yesterday. And like you just said, we are literally 2 weeks away from the playoffs kicking off. And we have a bunch of playoff stuff to talk about. But right now, I really want to just get into the holiday season and talk about some Christmas games that happened, which I think it was the first time in a long time that the NFL played on Christmas Day. But obviously, they had a new thing this year where they were playing specifically on Netflix. And yours truly, your host with the most here, watched both games and wanted to throw up all over himself watching those games because they were absolutely putrid, where I am talking, of course, about the Chiefs taking on the Steelers. That game was an absolute blowout, 29-10. The Steelers didn't have a chance in that one. The Chiefs dominate. They clinch the number one seed. It is just, Manish, are we getting ready to see the Chiefs three-peat at this point?
No, I've been consistent. I think they're going to lose in the divisional round. Obviously, it's matchup dependent, but I hate saying that a number one seed who wraps up the number one seed before the last week of the season is vulnerable to this extent. But I do believe that the Chiefs are, you know, there's a stat that I think everybody who follows football is pretty familiar with, of the handful of teams that haven't scored more than 30 points in a game this season. The Chiefs are the only team that's over 500. I think the Chiefs are the only team that has more than four wins among that group that hasn't scored over 30 points. So it's a competitive AFC. I think there's four teams probably that have a legitimate chance to go to the Super Bowl, five if somehow the Bengals sneak in there. But, you know, no disrespect to Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, all those guys, but I just think they're a vulnerable team, and they did look dominant on Christmas against the Steelers, but I've seen enough cracks in the armor over the course of this season to believe that they will not go to the Super Bowl. Maybe they will win the divisional round and get to the conference championship game. But, you know, I have a gut feeling that they're not going to win their first playoff game when they host whoever in the Arrowhead.
I really, really am praying and hoping that you are 100% correct on this, because I don't want to see them go any further. I don't want to see a three-peat. Get these Chiefs out of here already. But the other game that we want to touch on really quickly from Christmas was the Houston Texans taking on the Baltimore Ravens. And this was obviously a stark contrast to going back last year, where these two teams met in the playoffs and Houston was obviously the darling of the playoffs last year, you know, on the AFC side. And obviously they came up short against the Baltimore Ravens, who, you know, every year the Baltimore Ravens seem that they're going to make a deep run. They're going to do a lot of things. And then they always go up against that grinder known as the Chiefs, and they don't make it further than that. But this game showed a lot where I think Baltimore is proving that they are the real deal this late in the season. And Houston is taking that opposite trajectory, where they just looked abysmal, scoring a paltry 2 points, which, you know, it was a miracle. They tackled Derrick Henry in the end zone, which was incredible to see. But then I think the rest of the team forgot to show up for the rest of the game. So, Manish, let's talk about this. Do we see Baltimore being a legitimate threat in the playoffs this year? And is Houston going to be, you know, a prediction similar to the Chiefs, where they're going to make the playoffs but probably falter in the first round?
Yeah, I think, again, depending on the matchup, but right now I think there's just too many holes on that Houston Texans team. Obviously, losing Tank Dell after already losing Stephon Diggs really takes a lot of punch out of their offense, specifically their passing game. And C.J. Stroud hasn't really looked right all season. For as great as he looked as a rookie, he has been so shaky throughout this season. And you combine the fact that he's lost two of his top three receivers. He's got only Nico Collins, and obviously Joe Mixon's had an incredible resurgence in his first season in Houston. But I do not believe that they're going to survive the wild card round. They're very lucky to be playing in the AFC South, where, you know, a 10-7 or 9-8 season is going to win that division. They're going to host the game because of it, but they are extremely vulnerable. I would be surprised, frankly, if they got out of the wild card round, as opposed to the Ravens, who are surging. And it seems like we say this every year, but maybe they don't look so impressive early in the season, but you know, come November, December, you know, they are playing exceptional football. It's just, for whatever reason, when the postseason rolls around, Lamar Jackson, you know, outside of one AFC championship game appearance, has really come up small when it matters most. So I'm curious to see how they fare in the playoffs, but they are a dangerous team. They're one of those four teams, I think, in the conference that has a legit chance of heading to the Super Bowl.
For sure. And that would be fascinating to see if Baltimore can finally get over that hump where they haven't been to the Super Bowl since that 2012 season, where they had the likes of Joe Flacco, Ray Lewis's final year there. So Harbaugh's had some time since they've made a Super Bowl run. It'll be interesting to see if they make it to the big dance this year. But we're going to go on the opposite side here and talk about a team that is miles away from a Super Bowl appearance, and that is the poor, lowly Chicago Bears, who they played a game last night. For those of you listening, we are recording on Friday, a little bit late. This holiday season, we got to mix things up a little bit, so we're recording a little bit later in the week than we usually are. But last night was a Thursday night game where the Chicago Bears took on the Seattle Seahawks. And Manish, my friend, this was an absolute drubbing of a game. Again, I unfortunately watched it. I shouldn't have. I could have watched paint dry, and I would have had a better time watching that. But this game ended up being 6-3 final score, where the kickers did all the work. That was the only thing that happened. We saw some kicks, and other than that, it was a kick in my nuts, as far as I'm concerned, watching this game. But hey, I'm on record as saying Caleb Williams is not the real deal, and I'm proud to shout that from the mountaintop with the way he's played this season. But that being said, Chicago is obviously on the downward path at this point, looking forward to next year's draft. The team that I really want to talk about is the Seattle Seahawks, who they are still in the hunt for that NFC West crown at this point. Now, the fact that they only won the game 6-3, do you look at Seattle as being, you know, an upset team, somebody that can sneak in and do some damage, or are they just, you know, pretenders, you know, looking on the outside?
Yeah, I think if they made the playoffs, they would probably be bounced in the first round. I don't know what the matchup setup would be, who they would play. Highly unlikely that they would win their first round matchup, in my estimation. I mean, the bottom line is I think the Rams are going to win that division. The Rams can clinch, I think, by winning against the Arizona Cardinals this week and a few other things happening. So they could actually have things wrapped up before the end of the season. If not, the Rams will have to take care of business against Seattle in the last week, which I think they'll do. I just think they're a better team. They're a surging team. They're a team that actually can surprise people in the playoffs. But Seattle, to me, not a viable threat. Clearly did not look very impressive last night, despite winning 6-3, lowest scoring game in the NFL this year. I just don't think they're that good this year, which is funny because I actually thought they were a surging team last year, but Geno Smith has taken a step back. You know, Kenneth Walker has missed time due to injury. You know, the one guy on that team that offensively, at least, that has really broken out is Jaxon Smith-Njigba, who I thought would break out a year ago, but it took him a little bit longer. I think he's a superstar in the making, but as a whole, I do not believe that they're any kind of real threat if they do sneak into the postseason.
Yeah, and actually, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Kenneth Walker was just put on IR recently. Right. So Zach Charbonnet obviously has done pretty well in replacing Kenneth Walker to this point. But really quickly, before we move on to our next subject, I guess my driving point with Seattle is where they have the plethora of talent around Geno Smith, with the likes of DK Metcalf, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and then obviously Tyler Lockett's still there. I mean, he's aging, but he's still a viable threat. And then when you have Kenneth Walker healthy and Zach Charbonnet all together, do you see Seattle being a threat in the future if they're able to get a pristine quarterback? I mean, no disrespect to Smith. He's done admirable in the job that he's been put in there. But do you see a top-tier quarterback really putting the Seattle Seahawks on the next level of teams in that division?
Well, if they can get better quarterback play than Geno gave them this year, then they're a playoff team, because then I think you would get the kind of production that the Seattle Seahawks got out of Geno last year. And if that Geno Smith showed up, I think they would have wrapped up the division by now. But I don't think he's coming back. So if they improve at quarterback, absolutely. The question becomes, who are they going to bring in? If you look at the free agents available, maybe the top young quarterback on the free agent market is going to be Justin Fields. And would Justin Fields put them into that stratosphere? I don't think so. They're clearly not going to be in a position to draft a quarterback that high this season. So you're really in a predicament. And they're not alone. There's a lot of teams who are looking for quarterbacks who are not in striking distance of getting a quarterback. I mean, one guy, I guess, potentially, which would be intriguing, at least when it comes to name recognition, I don't think in reality necessarily, but Aaron Rodgers might be available. Are you interested in a soon-to-be 42-year-old quarterback? I mean, we saw how that experiment didn't work with the Jets, but could Seattle be desperate enough to bring him aboard? Who knows? But it's slim pickings out there. You know, these guys at the quarterback position, you know, who can make a real difference, don't grow on trees. So I just think if you're not going to do it in the draft, you're kind of stuck. Maybe you get a little bit lucky like the Steelers did with Russell Wilson, where you can get a guy who's a veteran, clearly not going to grow with him, but a guy who can get you into the postseason, as was the case in Pittsburgh this year. But it's a tricky situation because there's just not a lot of real options out there, which is a shame because you mentioned all these young skill position players, you know, minus Tyler Lockett, but you know, DK Metcalf, Jetson Smith and Jigma, Charbonnet and Walker, all good young skill position players. But Seattle, like much of the NFL, is missing one giant piece if they really want to be Super Bowl contenders, and that's quarterback.
Well, I mean, if they really wanted to go out on a limb, they've already, you know, resurged one former Jets quarterback in Geno Smith. If they wanted to say, take Sam Darnold after what he's done this year with
that's
Minnesota.
Another guy, yeah. You know what? That's a great that's a great, great answer. I don't even know why I didn't think of Sam Darnold because I'm a big Sam Darnold fan. But Darnold can just plug into that offense and I think can really make a difference.
I think you're just hung up on the fact that Aaron Rodgers is on the mind. That's all. We love Aaron Rodgers on the show. We got to talk about him at least once a week. So, but let's transition now to another quarterback situation, as I'll call it, where we're going to go to your team that you enjoy to cheer on there. And that is, of course, the Philadelphia Eagles, where they ran into not so much a buzzsaw, but they ran into some issues last week where Jaden Daniels, I got to think that he put on the performance that's probably going to lock up Offensive Rookie of the Year, where he threw the five touchdowns that he did, including that last, you know, second one that gave the Commanders the win over the Philadelphia Eagles. But realistically, I don't want to talk about the game so much. I want to talk about what came from that game, where at this point, Jalen Hurts ended up leaving that game with a concussion early on and was replaced by Kenny Pickett. So looking forward to the playoffs and everything, and the way that Philadelphia kind of fell apart at the end of last year, I'm not saying they're going to do that again this year, but the fact that Jalen Hurts is hurt, I got to give myself a little credit for that pun there. I was like, Hurts is hurt. Oh boy, here we go. No, he hasn't practiced at all this week. And obviously Kenny Pickett is the guy going forward right now. Granted, I don't think Hurts is going to be out long-term, but where if they lose this game this week, Manish, do you start to get some worry in there where it's like, okay, if Hurts does end up getting hurt again in the playoffs or anything like that, is this team going to fold in on itself with Kenny Pickett as their backup?
Well, what I'll say is that the Eagles as a franchise has one Super Bowl title, and that was with a backup quarterback in Nick Foles.
Yeah. Who you had to bring that up. You had to bring
that
up.
Yeah, I think they may have beaten the team that you're familiar with.
And you know what? That was a great show, Manish. I'll talk to you later. Everybody have a great week. Go ahead. Get it out now.
I don't think they can win a Super Bowl with Kenny Pickett, but in the one game sample size, obviously that's a ridiculously small sample size, but I didn't think Pickett played poorly. I didn't think he played especially great against the Commanders. I think he was all right. The biggest issue, without getting into too many details, in my estimation, was the defense, which gave up 35 points, including 22 in the fourth quarter. But that's probably a different discussion for a different time. Regarding Hurts, what I find to be fascinating is that, look, he's not going to play against the Cowboys this weekend. And that raises the question, if the Eagles do, in fact, beat Dallas, they will, in all likelihood, lock up the number two seed. They'll be locked into that. So entering their final game of the season against the Giants, they really have nothing to play for. So why would you risk your quarterback coming off a concussion in that game? So that would mean that Jalen Hurts would have about 3 weeks off before the playoffs start. And people could say, well, good, he gets an opportunity to rest. He's, you know, dealing with a finger injury as well, so he can heal up. The other part of that is, well, will he be rusty after a, you know, a 3 week hiatus in between action? So I find it to be fascinating. And the other element of this, which I know we're going to talk about next, is would the Eagles actually start their regulars in a meaningless game against the Giants? You know, there's a personal record at stake that that might sway their decision. But the Hurts quandary is fascinating if the Eagles win this week and don't need to win next week against the Giants. If it's a meaningless game, you're locked into two, why play any of your starters, let alone your quarterback coming off a concussion?
Yeah, it'll be fascinating to see the ramifications like you talked about, where if Hurts is able to go or if they're going to rest him and just say, hey, sit down, get ready for the playoffs, and we'll see what happens. But you touched on it a little bit on the next thing I want to talk about, that we're going to stick with the Eagles on this one. And believe it or not, Saquon Barkley still has a chance to reach that coveted record that has not been touched since the days of Eric Dickerson, who played way, 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 way long ago. I'm sure some of our followers on here don't even know who the hell Eric Dickerson is, which is awful, but we're not going to talk about that right now. If you don't know who Eric Dickerson is, he was a phenomenal, phenomenal running back way, way back, who has the single season rushing record to this day that I think it's got to be at least 40 plus years old at this point. And obviously the only player that came close to touching it in recent memory was Adrian Peterson back during his MVP season, where I believe he came up 7 yards short or something like that. Where Saquon, you looked it up before we recorded today, Manish, and he needs, what, 238 yards before he's able to get the record? At this point with the Eagles, where we talked about, you know, Hurts being injured and potentially locking up the two seed and everything else, do you want to see Saquon push to get that record? I mean, obviously, as fans, we look at those kind of records as like, okay, records are meant to be broken. We want to see fantastic things. We want to see these guys go wild and all that. Do we want to see Saquon break the record, or would you be more okay, especially being an Eagles fan, would you be okay with seeing him sit and being ready and rested for the playoff run that they need to have?
Well, I think for football fans in general, it'd be great if he could break that record or have a legitimate chance by trying and playing in the final game of the season. I think from an Eagles perspective, obviously the larger goal is to win a Super Bowl, because, again, as I said before, they've only won once in their franchise history. Saquon has been nicked up in recent years, as Giant fans are well aware. He's been relatively healthy, you know, dealing with small things here and there this year. But the last thing he would want, obviously, is for him to get injured in a meaningless game. Now, that being said, yeah, I can guarantee that not only Saquon, but the offensive line will probably be pushing for him to play in that game. I think a record like that, whether it was Eric Dickerson with the Rams, O.J. Simpson with the Bills, when he got 2,000 yards in a 14-game season, that to me is not only a running back record, that's an offensive line record as well. Offensive linemen take great pride in their running backs rushing for 1,000 yards, let alone 2,100-plus yards. So I guarantee those guys will be hoping that Nick Sirianni and Howie Roseman make a joint decision to play their starters. I just think you got to keep the bigger prize in mind. All of that, of course, depends on how many yards Saquon actually needs entering the final week of the season. Now, 238 yards away now, two games left. If he gets 100 yards and he needs 138 yards or whatever it may be, if he's within striking distance, maybe they do play him. If he has a bad game against the Cowboys, which I wouldn't anticipate, then I don't think it makes much sense. But if he's within striking distance, to me, that means about 140, 150 yards max. Then I think the Eagles will play him. I personally would not, just given his injury history, given all the mileage he's put on his body this year, getting a de facto bye week by resting him this week, or that final week, I should say, before the playoffs, I think would serve him well. I think he'd be fresher entering the playoffs, and that's what matters most to me as an Eagles fan. But I have a gut feeling that if he is close enough where they think he can get it, that he's going to play. And if he plays, that means the starting offensive line plays. Again, we'll see where Hurts is in the concussion protocol, but at the very least, the starting offensive line is going to have to play if Saquon plays. So it's a risk. Some might say, it's a risk every time you take a carry, every time you play. That's fine. I just like to minimize that risk if your number one goal is a Super Bowl. And, as one fan, I know I have other friends who are fans who think they should go for the record. I just personally think it's not really worth it. It doesn't really matter. I mean, Eric Dickerson has a great record. Football fans know about it. But I think, Philadelphia fans have a parade down Broad Street if the Eagles win the Super Bowl, not if Saquon gets the rushing title.
That's very true, although they might be parading around, because if he does it against the New York Giants, that is just extra salt in the wound to Giants fans out there, which, hey, I'm okay with, because screw the Giants as far as I'm concerned, because they're the thorn in my side for all those years. But great conversation so far. We are going to do a quick ad break just to hear from our sponsors. For all of you out there listening, we love and appreciate you. We hope you had the amazing, amazing holiday season. We will be right back. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to Between the Tackles. We are here talking about football. We're talking about Saquon possibly breaking that record. Will he? I don't know. Do I want to see it? Why not? I mean, Saquon's a phenomenal player. If he's jumping backwards over guys hurdling like that, we got to see some wild stuff from him. That's all I know at this point. But what I want to talk about now, Manish, at this point, is some upcoming games that are happening in a few days. Actually, there's some happening tomorrow, being Saturday of the time of this recording, because the NFL just likes to poop all over everybody's schedules at this time of year, where we're having games on Wednesdays, we're having games on Thursdays, we're having games Saturday, Sundays. For fantasy implications, it's absolutely wild. Although for me, in my five leagues, I only made the playoffs in one of them. And of course, that's the one I made the championship in. And I had Seattle's defense last night, which got me a stuff load of points, which was awesome to see. But enough about me and my fantasy. We're talking about some massive games this weekend where, like I said, it is playoff implications coming down to the final weeks of the season. And a couple of games that I want to throw your way that I want to briefly touch on and where they rack up for you, you know, interest-wise. I'm going to throw you this first one that not a lot of people probably are thinking about right now, but it actually could be monumental depending on the outcome of the game. And then, of course, is the Cincinnati Bengals taking on the Denver Broncos. The Cincinnati Bengals, who were at one point like 3-8 or something crazy, I think their record was atrocious. They've kind of turned it on a little bit where they're 7-8 now. They're on the outside looking in, but if they win this game against the Broncos, they're still in the playoff hunt. Manish, what does this game look like to you? Do you have any interest in this game?
I have a lot of interest in this game, mainly because I want to see Joe Burrow make the playoffs. Because I do think that they'll be a serious problem if they do make the postseason. I think they're going to win this game. They're hosting, for one. They're on a heater. They've won three in a row. Broncos coming off the loss, but against the Chargers. But been playing pretty well prior to that. I think the Bengals defense is terrible, so it will be competitive. It's very difficult for the Bengals to blow anybody out, even though they just blew out Cleveland. But Cleveland has their own set of issues. I think this will be a competitive game. Joe Burrow has been on a mission the last month or so. I think they'll win this game. The bigger problem for the Bengals is next week, if they do escape with a win this week, because even though I think the Bengals can win in Pittsburgh in week 18, the Broncos played the Chiefs, who have already wrapped up the number one seed. So the Chiefs have absolutely nothing to play for. Denver's going to be facing Carson Wentz, who is probably one of the better backups in the NFL. So it's not a guaranteed win, but certainly it's a fall off from Patrick Mahomes. So, it really would be, if you're a Bengals fan, disheartening if you finished on a five-game winning streak, finished at 9-8, you know, won these last two games, but missed out on a playoff spot because the Chiefs, you know, weren't playing their premier players. And you know, my gut tells me that's probably how it's going to end for Cincinnati, and that's unfortunate because again, I think it'd be so much fun to have Joe Burrow in the playoffs along with Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. You know, you have four of the best, if not the four best quarterbacks in the NFL in one conference in the postseason. That'd be so much fun to watch. The Bengals would have, in a scenario where they got in as a seven seed, a possible road to the Super Bowl. That includes facing Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Patrick Mahomes. That just makes for great theater. You know, I'm not a fan of any of those teams, but just as a football fan, I love to have the best players in. So I just think that this will be a tremendous game. I think it'll be a fun game. I think the Bengals can squeak this one out. But again, the bigger issue is, can Kansas City and their backups help them out next week? And I'm not sure that's going to happen.
For sure. I mean, that's the biggest thing, is obviously Joe Burrow is having a career year. Jamar Chase, if you look at their stats alone, you would sit there and think that the Bengals are undefeated with the way those guys are playing football. But like you said, their defense has really, really let them down, unfortunately, so much this year that it's going to be, you know, tough for them to get into the playoffs at this point. We're going to switch to another game that obviously has some big implications coming up. We touched on a little bit earlier where the Arizona Cardinals, who have been eliminated from the playoffs, are taking on the LA Rams. I had to catch myself. Almost said St. Louis, but I didn't. My brain, it ticked at the last second. It was like, nope, not St. Louis. So the Arizona Cardinals taking on the LA Rams, where the Rams are obviously in the driver's seat for that division. Like you touched on earlier, if they win this game, they wrap up the division. Seattle is on the outside looking in. But do the Cardinals want to play spoiler at this point to the Rams, Manish? Obviously, we talked about how the Rams are, you know, sneaky good. They're going to get in the playoffs. A lot of people always overlook them with Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford there. And obviously, their tremendous skill talent they have around Matthew Stafford. But do you see Kyler Murray and the Cardinals giving them any kind of fits this weekend?
Well, I mean, if you take any stock into what happened in their first matchup, it was another lifetime ago, week two. Arizona blew out the Rams. They won by 31 points, over four touchdowns. So they're certainly capable of beating the Rams. Of course, look, it's week two. Like I said, the season goes through so many different ups and downs. Week two results, I don't want to say they're completely irrelevant, but I'm not sure how much stock you would take in it. But they're capable of doing it. I just think that the Rams are so motivated. They had a close shave against the Jets last week. Tight game in the fourth quarter before a touchdown kind of sealed the deal for LA. I think they can see the finish line here. They can taste the playoffs. They don't want to obviously get swept by division opponents. So even though it was week two, Sean McVay is going to probably mention many times during the course of the week, or probably has, how they got waxed against Arizona earlier in the year. I just think it's tough sledding for the Cardinals. The Rams, to me, as I've said before, one of those teams that can really create some havoc if they get into the postseason. And being that they're so close now, they've won four in a row. They could finish the season winning six in a row, a red hot team potentially entering the postseason. I don't think they're going to be denied. Could it be competitive? Perhaps, but I like the Rams' chances in this one.
For sure. It's going to be absolutely awesome to watch and see what happens there. And then obviously the last game that we got to talk about, that is the biggest one on my radar screen, that I think is just going to be an absolute phenomenal game no matter what. Because usually this rivalry is a really, really good time. And of course, I am talking about the Minnesota Vikings taking on the Green Bay Packers, where the Packers, you know, you got to give them credit. They play in the hottest division in football, but yet sitting at the record that they're at, they're third in the division behind the Detroit Lions and the Minnesota Vikings, which is just insane to think about, because other teams would dream of having the Green Bay Packers record at this point. But this game is just means so much, because we talked about it before and we're going to talk about it in the next part of this segment here. But this game has so much implications going into the final week of the season there. And we'll, like I said, we'll touch on that in a minute. But realistically, looking at this right now, do you see Green Bay bringing the hammer to Minnesota in this game? Because Green Bay is, you know, both teams are locked up for the playoffs at this point, but the Vikings have just shocked everybody with the way they played football this year. Kevin O'Connell is doing a wondrous job with Sam Darnold, who we touched on earlier and everything. But just what do you think about this game? Are you as excited as I am? Because this game is going to be just fireworks, I think.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun the first time they played a nip and tuck game that Minnesota won in Lambeau. Obviously, they have an opportunity now to host. Weather won't be any kind of factor. Jordan Love, Packers are playing really well. The defense is playing really well. Josh Jacobs playing out of his mind for the last month or so. Like both quarterbacks did, you know, fairly well through the air. And I think they passed a lot the first time. I don't remember the exact numbers, but great story. Both teams are a great story in their own right. You know, I think Minnesota's going to win. They're they're 1.5-point favorite, which means on a neutral field, the Packers would be favorite. That kind of tells you how evenly matched they are. So much at stake, not only in the NFC North, but in the NFC playoff picture as a whole, because if Minnesota does win, then next week's game against the Lions means everything. And we'll get into, you know, the specifics about that in a second. But if Minnesota does lose, Green Bay pulls off the upset, then the Lions wrap up the number one seed, and Monday night's game for Detroit in San Francisco or against San Francisco means nothing. So a part of me wants Minnesota to win just because I'd like to see that Monday night game mean something. And then more importantly, I'd love to see the week 18 matchup between the Vikings and the Lions mean a lot.
That's right. That's right. Well, I didn't want you to steal all my thunder because, like I said, I'm getting jacked up for this next part that I'm talking about. We touched on it briefly, the look ahead to the final week. Because, like I said, I know the big thing with football is you always have to stay grounded and you have to look at the week you're at. Obviously, going back to we touched on a week two game that seemed like it was centuries ago, but in reality, it was only a brief, 15, 16 weeks ago, which is insane to think about. But looking ahead to this final week, where a lot of times in the NFL and most sports, honestly, where you look at the final stretch of the season where so many teams are already eliminated from the playoffs or they're just vying for a draft pick at this point or whatever, there's two games that are just going to be massive, 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 massive that I really, honed in on depending on the results of this week's games, where we've already seen what the Seahawks obviously did last night against the Chicago Bears. If the Rams do falter against Arizona, I believe it was a tie or a loss. Everything comes down to week 18 with the Rams-Seahawks game there. And I don't want to dwell on that one too much. We already talked about where you like the Rams. And for me personally, I like the Rams as well. I think Sean McVay has the pedigree. Matthew Stafford has the pedigree. They've been to the playoffs. They know what they're doing. Seahawks, if they make it, it's a nice story. But at the end of the day, like you talked about, they're probably going to get bounced in the first round. So it's just one game to look at. But really, Manish, I want to talk about, like you touched on very quickly there, the Lions and Vikings. If these two teams are tied up at 14-2 each going into the final week, with whoever wins that game getting the number one seed or the number five seed, that is just, that's crazy. I can't remember a time thinking back to where that all came, the marbles all came down to it, where it was just two teams that dominant through the season. Everything came down because you could imagine everybody talked about Detroit for all season long with what they've been able to do with all the crazy plays with Dan Campbell, all the injuries and everything. And they've been so dominant. And then could you imagine if Minnesota pulls off a miracle at the last second or something and knocks Detroit from that top seed all the way down to the fifth seed? Let's talk about this. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it's funny. I mean, there's always when stuff like this happens, there's always a discussion about seeding in the playoffs, because as you touched on, if Minnesota were to beat Green Bay and face off as a 14-2 team against the Lions, who if they beat the Niners would also be 14-2, the loser would be on the road against the four seed, which this year would be the NFC North winner. So you're talking about a 14-3 team playing in all likelihood a 9-8 division winner at the home of the 9-8 division winner. So there was many years ago, there was a time where Seattle won the NFC West under 500 and they hosted a playoff game, I believe, against the Saints and Drew Brees. So I don't think that's fair. You know, the idea of Minnesota going to Atlanta, Minnesota going to Tampa, and I think Tampa's a really good team, actually. But let's say they do go to Tampa. Well, let's say they go to Atlanta, because Atlanta right now would win the NFC North. Let's say Atlanta finishes 9-8. They're hosting the 14-3 Vikings. I don't think that's equitable. I don't think that's something that makes a lot of sense. The NFL has done it, obviously, for a long time, rewarding division winners with home playoff games. But, this NFC North has three juggernaut teams, arguably the three best teams in the NFC. You know, you want to throw the Eagles in there, that I understand that. But clearly three of the four best teams in the conference are in one division. So that'll be a lot of fun. The Vikings and the Lions played earlier this year, week 7. Lions won on a last-second field goal, 31-29, high-scoring game. So if it's anything like that first meeting, it'll be a lot of entertainment, a lot of fun for NFL fans. And, I think that most people who don't have a specific rooting interest for either of those two teams are hoping that they both win this weekend.
All right, I want you to look into your imaginary crystal ball that nobody on the planet has, but I want you to pretend you got one, and you got to tell me right now, as a non-fan of any of those three teams, who comes out, or let me put it this way, who goes the furthest in the playoffs out of that division? Do you like Green Bay? Do you like Minnesota? Or do you like Detroit?
I mean, I like the team that gets the bye. So whoever the number one seed is, I always take the team that gets the bye, because – except the Chiefs, who I completely – I don't want to say that. They're not fraudulent. I hate saying fraudulent. That's not fair to them. They're a good team. But clearly, I don't think deserving of the one seed. But again, in this particular scenario, Lions, Vikings, whoever gets the one seed, I think will advance the furthest in the postseason. The Packers are a great team. Honestly, they're not getting a bye, of course, but they're a great team. Without knowing what the exact matchups would be at this point, I would say whoever gets the one seed. And what I will say is if the Vikings do play the Lions in a meaningful game next week in Detroit, I do think the Vikings will win. My big question is, can the Vikings get past the Lions? If the Vikings beat the Lions, I do believe that, if the Vikings do beat the Packers this weekend, I do believe Minnesota will beat Detroit in Detroit.
Ooh, fascinating stuff. I was going to say, as much as I love Detroit, and that would be great to see them go far and do things, injuries have certainly piled up for that team at this point, where they are just, it is going to be tough sledding for them. But we still hope for the best for Detroit, because you know what? They're the lovable losers that they've been for 50-plus years, so.
Yeah, look, I had them as the number one seed. I had them going to the Super Bowl before the Super Bowl, before the season started. Midway through the season, I thought they would still go to the Super Bowl. But as you just said, they've just been ravaged by injuries on the defensive side. I think it's too much. I think Aaron Glenn is a terrific defensive coordinator. I think he's going to make an incredible head coach. But he is so shorthanded right now. And you can get away with it with a lesser team. But if you're playing a team like Minnesota, I just don't see how you can survive with all those injuries. You saw that with Buffalo taking advantage of it a few weeks ago against the Lions.
That's right. Well, I mean, you're telling me you can't sit there and put, you know, no-name Joe Smith on Justin Jefferson and you're going to have a field day? That, come on, I don't believe that for a second. No, great discussions, Manish. I appreciate you there. That was phenomenal, and I can't wait to see what the results of this weekend are going to lead to going into next weekend. Speaking of results, and I don't really want to talk about this because I think collectively – we had our absolute worst drubbing of our picks ever this past week for the season, where for our listeners out there, if you've been keeping track, if you've seen the graphics, it has just been, we've been pretty good most of the season. We all, going into this weekend, we were all positive in our picks. And between the 9 picks last week, we had 2 wins. But on the bright side, Manish, you and I both had one of those wins. So as crappy as we weren't the losers of the weekend. That, spoiler alert, that was Burgess. He was the big loser of the weekend. But what I'm going to do really quickly is I'm going to go over the results of what happened last week, obviously, for our picks there. Manish, you were 21-17-1 overall going into the week. You had the Steelers +6 versus the Ravens. Unfortunately, the Steelers got beat up by the Ravens and then got beat up by the Chiefs recently. That was no good for you. You had the Eagles -3.5 versus the Commanders. Obviously, we talked about the last second heroics of Jaden Daniels. They knocked them off. But fortunately, you had the Lions, who we just talked about, -6.5 versus the Bears. They took care of business. They gave you one win on there. So, but like I said, a little bit different for this week. Our listeners out there, we're not doing our picks this week because this week's kind of a crazy week where we've already had games and contests and everything. We're going to have a little something special lined up for you next week. But before I get into that, I'm going to continue down the path of what we got going on here for our results last week. For my picks, where I am sitting in the clown basement right now, I was 20-19 going into last week. I took the Bills -14 versus the Patriots. I felt really freaking good about that because the Patriots have been the worst team I've seen in years on the field. And the Bills came out and started getting punched in the mouth. They were up down 14-0 to the Patriots. And then, of course, the Patriots did what the Patriots do, and they threw up all over themselves. They still lost the game by 3 points, and Bills didn't look dominant. But a win's a win. Josh Allen, you know, he's going to do his thing. So that was no good for me. On the other side, the Rams took on the Jets -3. Rams took care of business there. That got the other win of the week. And then I had the 49ers +1.5 versus the Dolphins. The Dolphins took care of business because Brock Purdy did not look good in that game. The 49ers have just been, real quickly, before we go on to Burgess's picks, Manish, what do you think about the 49ers this season? Have they just been the ultimate disappointment, or are they just a case of injuries cost you games?
Yeah, they were ravaged by injuries, but Brock Purdy has not looked good. I don't want to go on too much of a tangent, but I find it to be fascinating whether the 49ers are going to give Brock Purdy a big contract or whether they are going to have some pause for concern, given that he really has not looked good this year. What I also find fascinating is that wouldn't it be interesting if the 49ers decided not to sign Brock Purdy to a long-term deal, but instead bring back Sam Darnold, who was Brock Purdy's backup last year, and sign him to a big deal? Because I know Kyle Shanahan loved him, but he was in love with Brock Purdy for obvious reasons entering this season. But Purdy has really shown a lot of cracks in the armor, injuries to everybody else notwithstanding.
Yeah, it's going to be really, really fascinating to see if the 49ers can get back over that hump that got them to the playoffs and the Super Bowl than the previous season, where this year they have just been absolutely abysmal. So speaking of abysmal, that was what I was, obviously, like I said, talking about my picks there. We're going to go on to our last contestant, and that is our leader right now. Unfortunately, it is Burgess. But like I said, he had a crap week, and I'm going to tell you all about it right here. He had the Texans +3 versus the Chiefs. The Texans got smacked around by the Chiefs. The Vikings -3 versus Seahawks, which was a push. It gives us another tie, which actually you and Burgess both have ties now on the season. And then obviously he had the Buccaneers -4 versus the Cowboys, which I think a lot of people got shocked in that game where the Cowboys took care of business at home versus Tampa. And like I said, for all you followers out there, we don't have our picks this week. We're not doing any picks right now. We got something special next week that Manish and I are going to think about talking about Burgess with it. I don't know if we're going to actually talk to him, because we're just going to let him, you know, be pleasantly surprised, but we're going to do a little, like you said, family feud type thing where I think we're going to do double or nothing. So that way we can knock him off his pedestal. I like the sound of that. So we're going to do our best to get everybody back on board for recording next week. Obviously, like I said, where the holidays will be wrapping up and whatnot. Like I said, if you had a fantastic holiday season, I hope it was the best. You got to hang out with family and do your thing, whether you celebrate Christmas, Hanukkah, or anything in between. We here from Between the Tackles wish you the best of the best, and we hope you have a fantastic new year going into next week as well. Manish, my friend, I think that wraps everything up. Unless you got something else you want to yell at me about or tell me how dumb I am for, you can hit me with whatever you got.
No, I'm good. I'm looking forward to our scoring system change next week in our final pick segment.
That's right. Okay. For you listeners out there, don't tell Burgess. It's going to be a surprise for him. We're not going to tell him anything until we record next week. For all of you that have hung out with us this long, we love and appreciate you again. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. As always, go Patriots for me. They suck anyway, but it is what it is. We will see you all next time. Later.